What's up, fam? It's Chappelle, and I am back with another edition of Recap Kickback. Now, starting a new project here, something I've been dying to get into, something I've been talking about. If you're familiar with my work over on RHAP on the Below Deck Bravo Rehap Ups feed, you probably might have seen this coming, but we're in for a special treat. This time, this season of Summer House Martha's Vineyard, we will be covering it on Recap Kickback. That's right. If you are a fan of the hit show Summer House Martha's Vineyard, we will be covering it every other week on Recap Kickback because it is such a crazy show. It is insane the amount of fighting these people do. It's drama. It's fun. You know, there's so much to talk about. So much to talk about. So little time. So without further ado, I have to introduce you to my co-host for her second appearance on Recap Kickback, but I'm sure she'll be here for a while. It's Sasha Joseph. Sasha, welcome.
Woohoo! I made it. Listen, this is the show I wanted to talk to you about. I messaged you season one saying, if you were to go on a reality show, this would be the one for you. Mm-hmm. And although I know you don't want to, one day I will get you on the show.
I want to be an NPC on this show. You know, I want to bump into these people in the Martha's Vineyard at the bar or something like that. Maybe come to the crib and say hi and then leave.
You and Chinese when?
Well, we have a lot to discuss when it comes to that. But of course, thank you all for listening so far. All your reviews, all your comments. We're trying to keep the content fresh and to keep the content coming. And so, like I said, every other week, Sasha and I will be talking to you about two episodes of Summer House Martha's Vineyard until the end of the season. And then if they come back for more, we'll be back for more. That's how this is going to work. As long as Sasha's in, I'm in too. And so, you know, feel free to leave your comments in the YouTube comments. You know, you can always tweet us at Recap Kickback if you have any questions, comments, concerns about anything we talk about on the show, because it's going to be a good time. It's the kickback. Everybody's welcome. And we're going to have a fun time talking about this. So, Sasha, let's go ahead and jump in. For the people who are unfamiliar with Summer House Martha's Vineyard, what would you say? Give us a quick summary of what you would say the show is.
Yes. Yeah, so if folks know what Summer House is in general, maybe you do already. So that if for those folks, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard is just the equivalent of that. And it's a spinoff. It's another franchise on Bravo. Now, if you have no idea what we're talking about and what the hell Summer House is, welcome, because Summer House is a lot like the real world, except there's no jobs. It's a lot of folks coming together to party, to hang out, to have a good time in a summer spot, right? So the original show, Summer House, it was a lot about, you know, I think they were in New York. I can't remember. I didn't really watch it. And it's a bunch of Bravo celebrities that came together, right, from different shows. A show even we cover, Below Deck, had folks on it. So they all go, they get away from the stress of life, right? That's the point. Martha's House, and what makes it more special and unique is that they go to Martha's Vineyard, right? And they go to the Oak Bluffs, specifically in Martha's Vineyard, and they're an all-Black cast, which is really exciting. And I just personally appreciate that they picked the Oak Bluffs to highlight. As someone, again, that works for a Black and Brown women's organization, I've actually been to the Oak Bluffs to do a lot of ideation work for my cohort. So it's just like a really beautiful place. And that's where I think Summer House and history come together, especially for this cast.
Yes. And there's a lot of history in Martha's Vineyard. Yes. It's given the nickname the Black Hamptons due to its popularity as a place for wealthy African-Americans to vacation. So members of, you know, these elite groups, the Lynx, you know, Jack and Jill and these other organizations often visit there and kind of have their moments there and kind of live in their opulence. You know, they like to go and be very fancy in Oak Bluff. And so this follows a group of, you know, like I would say probably about millennials, right, Sasha?
Yeah.
You know, as they are entering that era of their life, they're entrepreneurs, they're business owners, and they are kind of like a travel group of friends. You know, they go out to the summer house. This is now the second season. So many of them were just getting to know each other. They're like friends of friends, acquaintances even. And now they spent the summer together, at least 15 days, the first season. And now they're back for some more shenanigans. And so we have an entire cast here. We have a lot of like pre-existing relationships, a lot to talk about, and a lot to discuss about, you know, moving forward with season two. And so instead of going through each of the cast members of season one and season two, I think we'll just jump into the plot. And as we hit different people, we'll talk about them. How about that, Sasha?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I like it.
All right, cool. So as we said, Martha's Vineyard is a place, a good, fun place for these African Americans. It's full of rich, full of history. And so that's going to be throughout our discussions as well. But the first person we find out on this episode, well, the first people we get updated about on this episode are Jordan and Jasmine. We know that Jordan and Jasmine were sister cousins, as they say, really good friends in season one. But it seems like they haven't hung out at all since the end of season one. Jasmine, we know, who is married, and Jordan, who was single and also celibate at the time, was doing her own thing as well. They met with these group last time, and it seems like, Sasha, Jordan is a lot closer with the group than she is with her homie. What do you think happened here?
Oh, so we saw a lot in season one, right? Jasmine was newly married, and she is now a stay-at-home wife. And even on season one, just because they were on vacation, the duties were still of being a stay-at-home wife. So And I think she's the first in the friend group to be married. There's a lot of, I think, spaces and layers to that. So I think a lot of people were frustrated with Jasmine because they were like, we know you in an XYZ way, and now you've fully switched up on us, and you've become, and we see the joke made in the episode two, you've become a 1950s like housewife, basically, that, you know, is very much about your man and not about your friends. So that's where I think that breakup unfortunately happened, where Jordan's like, well, I'm single, trying to do single things. You're not.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan and Jasmine met as Playboy bunnies at a Playboy club in New York. And now they no longer work there. Jordan was once Playboy Bunny of the Year. Mm-hmm. I think was like only the fourth African-American woman to do that. And so her trajectory is a little different than Jasmine's. Like you said, Jasmine's kind of in like homemaker mode. Mm-hmm. We won't see a lot of Jasmine's husband in this episode. Woo-hoo! Because he has been deployed. Sasha, I'm already getting the vibe. You're not a big fan of Silas.
Who is? Are you? Because you watched season one. So don't be so for real.
I watched season one. I would say that Silas has some control issues for sure.
Why didn't you iron my clothes?
Yeah, you're awful at this. Why are you so bad at it?
My eggs are burnt.
Yeah. At the end of season one, it did feel like Jasmine and Silas were kind of on a rocky road, if you will. You know, it felt like throughout the season, they were fine. They were pretty much in lockstep, but there were definitely moments and hints of people saying that Silas was a little controlling. You know, the issues Jasmine has with Jordan is like, it feels like Jasmine really wants Jordan to be in a relationship. I find that happens a lot of times with married couples. They want to pair you up real quick because they're like, oh, I found somebody. You need to be paired up with somebody too. Sasha.
First of all, if I was single, I would still do that. So how dare you? I've been that auntie since I was born. Let's be very clear on that. Thank you very much. And I don't want you to be married. There's very much a difference. I get bored. And so I say, okay, Chevelle, it's time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like vibes on this episode where I was like, well, on this show where I was like, okay, I definitely see a little bit of me and Sasha and some of these people for sure. but what did you think about Jasmine and Silas? Because now that Silas is away, you know, we might get to see more of Jasmine not in that mode of like homemaker and wife.
for the first time.
So I was really frustrated by Silas and Jasmine, because I agree, I hate those married couples. Because it's not even that they want to pair your friends up. It's that they look down on you because you're single. Why? Why do you need the headache of not only cooking yourself breakfast, but apparently worrying about someone else? Not only ironing your clothes, but ironing someone else's clothes and then getting reamed, not in the good way, for doing it wrong. And then the next thing is the way they have sex. It's giving performative, right? So it's giving jackhammer. It's giving energizer bunny. Good for wow, you have sex. You're amazing. That's what it was giving. And everyone else was like, yeah, dude, we all fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Cute. That's fine. Don't care. So that was the vibe. But then I think about it, and Jasmine has had a really hard life before. And I think that there probably is a lot of that trauma of like, I can't mess this up because I don't want to go back. Right? I don't want to go back to the strip club.
No, Stevie.
No, Stevie. But that's what I think of. I think there is a lot of there is a power differential in that marriage, or there was at least season one. And I think that ugly is constantly showing up in different spaces. So that's why I want to give Jasmine credit, or, you know, Grace. But she, oh my God, they piss me off because I don't like married girls that do that, that act like they're better than everyone. So I hope she's done, some work. And I think that she is better because she's much calmer now, to where she's not in front and leading the group.
Yeah. You know, we saw her struggling with that last season because from her point of view, she's like, I'm not looking down on y'all. I just want you to be happy. But from Jordan's point of view, she's like, I am happy. Stop assuming that I'm not, right? Like, you shouldn't be sitting here saying, I just want you to have somebody. I want you to not be alone. It's like, I'm not telling you I'm unhappy alone. Like, I'm fine. And so that's where it comes off like, oh, maybe you're looking down on me for not being in the same situation you're in. But Silas isn't here. And I'll give Silas some grace as well. He felt like he needed to really be in control of this relationship because, you know, Jasmine tells him about how she was leaving in a car, you know, essentially, before they got together, and that maybe, like, you know, her finances weren't always stable and stuff like that. And so he's really taking that leadership role. And so for a lot of people in Martha's Vineyard, in this summer house, they weren't taking that well at all. Like, it was just like, it was turning people off. That and the very loud sex, like you were saying, like every night it was just kind of like, damn, can let these
but
people
it's like they're trying to prove a point more than they're doing it for enjoyment. No,
they did. They weren't able to do it quietly. That is true. At some point people brought it up and they were like, oh, they tried to have sex quietly and it just like, wasn't doing
I
it for them.
Do it.
Yeah,
go to the bathroom, man. I don't, you know what? Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. I don't want to judge anyone's sex. Like, live your life, King and Queen. But it felt like performative. That's all I'll say. So, yeah, I'm just grateful that Silas is out of the picture. But listen, Jasmine is apparently not drinking to not drink. And I'm putting that in air quotes.
Well, let's talk about it. Jasmine is not drinking. And the people are raising eyebrows. You know, she says, you know, I'm just trying something new, sober summer coming soon, that kind of thing. But a lot of people are saying, is she not drinking because there's something else going on? Is Jasmine pregnant? Now, I personally, as a man, I don't like to speculate because it could be very rude.
Yeah, this is very much only a girl thing. Yeah, boys can't.
However, when one of my turn-up buddies all of a sudden want to tap out of the game, you have no choice but to question it, you know? Like, if that is your shot partner, if you're used to drinking with that person, and all of a sudden you look up and they're like, I'm good, I'll just have water. All right, stop the press. You know, like, something wrong. Cut the camera, something's off. Are you okay? Do you hate me? And so I think throughout this episode, a lot of people are starting to question, do you think Silas, you know, he got deployed, but did he leave a bun in the oven on his way out?
So are we, spoiler alert, fast forward everyone. I mean, you saw it in the confessional. She looks different. That's the baby's already born.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, it's Silas Jr. Of course.
Yes.
So yes, she was pregnant and she said she didn't feel comfortable sharing with the cast because of everything that has transpired, or not actually, because they just have left her out. So I think her Jasmine says that she didn't feel comfortable sharing. Mm-hmm. That's the nicest way I can say that. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's how it goes. It's everybody's personal business. You know, yeah, some people struggle with pregnancies and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
What if it was so early? We don't know their like background. It could be anything. So whatever the reason may be.
Right. But congratulations to them. Also, we have Bria and her friend Shanice, who these are the turn up friends, right? Shanice and Bria were the party girls of the group. I mean, they're all kind of party girls, but you know, they were the fun ones, if you will. Shanice and Bria have a lot of fun in season one. Shanice is commonly seen topless, bottomless, naked. At any given time, she's going to be having the greatest time of her life, regardless of who's around. Mm-hmm. And her and Bria actually had a little conflict last season because Bria had a lot of conflict with everyone last season. And so including her number one friend, Shanice, because at some point Shanice finds herself in the jacuzzi naked, butt ass naked with Bria's boyfriend, Simon. And so, that was not okay with Bria. Now, mind you, Bria was very drunk. And so this mm-hmm. escalated very quickly. But now they're back, Sasha, and it seems like they're on the same page again.
Yeah, I think Shanice is a friend that you just have to be like, this is my friend and this is who they are. Or don't be friends with her. It's not fair to, again, put whatever you feel about your man on your friend. I don't feel that she's like sitting here trying to like entice Simon. That was never a thing. So right. I just felt like it was very much, this is a thing. This is my friend. Here we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she was only there on the weekends last time, but this summer she's back. She's going to be naked again and she's full time this time. So we're going to get a lot more of Shanice, and that might be a bad thing for certain people in the house, because we know that, there's a little drama with Shanice in her personal life that seeped into the show last season. One of the other cast members, Alex, notably told Shanice that she needs to be cognizant of people's personal space. And then that became a huge source of conflict last season, Sasha.
But Alex won't tell his brother. Well, anyway. Yeah. Please keep going.
No. So that brings us to our next source of drama. Shanice she was accused of being a stalker last season due to some drama with an actor from Insecure. You know, not one of the main cast, but an actor from Insecure.
Well, it's Molly's ex-boyfriend, like, who, right. Interestingly enough, whose brother, IRL, is Keke Palmer's baby daddy.
Ooh.
And we all know what happened there. Not to assign blame on people, but I'm just saying, it's all sus. That is it.
It's all sus. That is it. Yeah, so this is bad for Shanice, obviously. Mm-hmm. She gets dragged through the mud and told that she wasn't basically that people should stay away from her. You know, she's crazy, all this other stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Norman Towns.
No, Norman Towns is not not who you think it is.
No, you're right.
Right, yes. That's what I'm saying. It's not the main cast. This is one of the...
Tomato. They literally, I swear, okay, whatever.
No. I'm back. It was not. It's not the main cast.
It was his ex, her Molly's ex.
But she had a bunch of exes on that show.
Yeah, forgetting.
Not that guy.
I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Don't put it in the comments. I already caught myself.
Right. No need to go after Dro. He has enough heat on him. Okay. So that said, yeah, she was told that, people were told that she was a stalker. He really did like a smear campaign on her on social media. And so that seeped into the house because there was a moment where Shanice was really getting along with one of the other cast members named Alex. And Alex, they seemed to be vibing. And then the next episode, he was like, nope, I'm good. Thank you. And it just seemed to come out of nowhere. Eventually, they had to talk. He was like, nah, you're a little too touchy for me. And then it was revealed that he had heard about the rumors and saw the articles about Shanice. And so that drama came to a head. But it doesn't look like there's any of that residual drama left over because Alex has moved on. Now, a little bit about Alex. Him and his frat brother are both on this season as well. They were on last season as well. It was Alex and Nick. They are both members of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity, and they will not let you forget it. And so they are both there. And during the summer, Nick has a girlfriend. We have a lot to unpack with that. But Alex as well has been seeing people during the summer. But it sounds like he's in his F-boy era, Sasha, because one of the people he's been seeing is also in the house, and they are not on good terms. It's summer.
Here's the thing, right? I have many feelings about summer, and we'll get into it, but I do think that Alex is a little bit gaslighty. He's just like very much in his toxic boy era. And I met many of these. That's why it's just, it is what it is. I just think you can't let him see you sweat, and you can't, you know, he thrives on attention. We got to stop giving him attention. But it's fine. Alex and Nick are fascinating together. And the fact that Nick has a girlfriend is, and the same girl that he didn't tell anyone until late season one. And now Nick is very friendly with the girlies. Bless his heart.
But that's Nick's MO. You know, even season one, we saw a lot of Nick. He was introduced to us as a very well-dressed man who is sliding into the DMs. They call him the DM bandit. He's in all the girls' DMs. If there's a woman in this house, he has been in their DMs. But, you know, from his point of view, he's like, he's just being polite. A few hard eyes, a few you look goods here and there. But the women say it was a little bit more than that. You know,
my friends do not do that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever sent you a heart eyes emoji or anything like that in the DMs. Like, I'll tell you, a fire emoji maybe.
I do it to troll you because whenever you post your, like, friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I did see you put heart eyes on that one person's emoji. I mean, on one person, that one Survivor player's picture, but whatever.
I'm trying to think who it was.
Oh, we have the same name.
Oh, yes. Oh, always. And what? Yeah, I will only do it to Jamel to troll him when he posts other attractive men.
Yeah, I guess.
It is his birthday, everyone. Okay, I have to be nice to him. Sorry.
Yeah, that too. So what we see is that Nick is he's liberal with his compliments, I guess you would say. He's like, hey, you look nice, you look nice, you look nice.
Would
blah,
you
blah.
Do that if you were in a relationship?
Nah, not really. But I guess that's the difference, right? If your relationship is fine and you're okay with that kind of thing, if y'all have talked about it, because him and his girlfriend Tasia, I believe her name is.
Yeah.
He says that they have already spoken. And that she has no reason not to trust him. And she says the same thing. She is completely fine with these DMs. But the girls in the house are not. They keep bringing it up. Like, so Nick, what happened to your girlfriend? Are you sure Tasia? I was like, there are points, Sasha, where I'd be like, damn, y'all care more about this relationship than he do and the girl do. What do y'all get from this? Why do y'all care so much?
Yeah, I personally believe that she is very much like, hey, this is who I am. This is who my man is. And I'm cool with it. That's what they give off. Shout out to them. Good for them. But I would feel uncomfortable if someone with a girlfriend is doing that. But at the end of the day, I think I would just get cool with the girlfriend so that we're all on the same page. Because I'm a girl's girl. So there's no way I'm getting caught up.
Mm-hmm. And there are moments we see that too. We see people go and try to meet Tasia. She's not here, I don't think, at the beginning of this season either.
But now I'm sure they like know her because
they know her, so she's essentially a part of the friend group as well. We mentioned Summer and Alex have had a thing, Sasha, and this is the big drama I think so far at the beginning of the season, because from what we understand, they were not serious. This was not a relationship.
Yes,
this was a situationship at best. Friendship with benefits.
Yes.
Yeah, entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look like that's all, because there are moments that lead you to believe that maybe there are some feelings there that might not be reciprocated. Because Summer is upset that when Alex was out with his friends doing things, having events and stuff, Summer was not on the guest list. And she took offense to that, Sasha, because she felt like, I'm sorry, do you have the direct quote? Someone that you've been inside, right?
Yes. If you've been inside someone and you don't invite them, I don't understand.
Yeah. She said, if you've been inside someone, you would obviously invite them to your function.
Listen, now, there's a difference inside, outside. You see what I'm saying?
Sasha, it sounds like you're on Team Alex on this one.
No. I'm on Team Toxic because, like, I just feel that if you play with fire and you're just like, oh, how did I get burned? Oh, no. How dare you, you silly little fire? You burnt me. That's how I feel. So It's not that I'm on anyone's side. I just feel like he literally told you who he was. It was on the show who he was. Why are we acting like he would change for you? Men don't change for women, and you can't tell me otherwise.
You know, the funniest part about this to me is that Summer airs this out basically at the dinner table.
Night one, y'all, it's happening.
Yeah, out the gate in front of everybody. If you haven't watched the show, just let me set this up for you. They're having a dinner. They always do. This is one of the staples of the show is that, you know, they're here for the summer and they're going to spend time together. They go to brunch together. They do activities together. They come home. They hang out. They eat. They drink. All that kind of stuff. But they do it as almost like a big family. Well, they have big families at the table. And for some reason, you know, the conversation comes up because people start talking about, well, who's been hanging out over the summer? Who's been invited to certain things? Who hasn't been invited to certain things? And based on what we can tell, Jasmine has been missing out on a lot of the functions. You know, whatever happened last summer or when since she's been married, the vibes just haven't been the same. And so she's been seeing this as well, which is kind of gross.
Well, and they went to Jamaica. Like,
yeah.
It's just there's a lot of cross-pollination of frustration here.
Yeah. And so, you know, Jasmine probably feels a way about that. Yes. There's probably numerous reasons why Jasmine's being left off Bad and Bougie. Mm-hmm. But when they get ready to talk about it, you know, Alex is kind of like, those weren't my events to invite you to, you know, that kind of thing. Like, he kind of passing the buck until Summer jumps in and is like, oh, well, that's funny because when I was in New York, I didn't get a call and it was the same day. And I was thinking, well, damn, Alex, what you gonna say? And then that's when she hits us with the, you would think if you were inside someone, they would be the one who you would invite to something like this. And I'm like, whoa, because I don't know if it had been confirmed by everybody. It seems like there was a game of telephone. Some people knew that this had happened, but a lot of people at the table were not 100% confirmed that Alex and Summer had had a thing, while everybody was away. Mm-hmm. So this is a big reveal. And this is, of course, like I said, the drama of the episode.
No, I could not stop laughing because you know she was waiting, right, to share with everyone. You did this, you did that, you did this. And she's like, but I got the ace. But unfortunately, the ace wasn't the ace that you thought it was, babes, because it landed like a lead balloon. Everyone was like, huh? Well, why did you do that? You should have known better. You know who he is. So I felt like it blew up on her face and she ends up looking a little bit more sus because she keeps being like, we hung out. It's chill. It's cool. It's not a big deal. How do you know something's a big deal when someone says it's not a big deal?
Yeah, they got to keep telling you. It's like, who are you trying to convince, me or you, right? And that conversation itself is really what made the whole Jasmine situation blow up too. Yes. Because when she goes to Alex, like, well, you ain't invited me to stuff and you've been inside me. Alex says, well, you ain't been inviting Jasmine to stuff and a lot of y'all haven't. And now, boom, Jasmine, who's sitting right there at the table, is like, yeah, what about that? Why haven't I been getting invited to stuff? And I was like, okay, we're going to be here for a long summer, Sasha.
Mm-hmm. And then Bria goes, well, let me jump in now because you guys keep hanging out in New York and I'm in New York and you don't want to hang out with me. And the weakest effing excuse of my life. Okay. Because Summer and Jordan go, well, we just went to brunch because we were staying together. Well, why were you sleeping over? Because you're visiting.
Right. What you didn't just happen to be right. Like, damn, you could have invited Bria. Bria is a source of a lot of drama in season one, but I was like, I was a champion for Bria season one. I was like, she low key ain't really. Yeah, I'm there. Me, Bria, and Milo, Sasha, we're all on the same page. A lot of that stuff y'all pushing that girl buttons. Leave her alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, Brienne's going to take it to 10 every time. Yes. But a lot of that time, y'all brought it to her and she just met your energy and then everybody couldn't handle it. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, sometimes just normal drama would pop off. And so this is bad. Bria's upset. Jasmine's upset. Alex is like nonchalant because that's kind of just the vibe he gives off. Mm-hmm. And Summer is upset because she still doesn't have the answers that she wants. Amir is the one who ends up going to check on Bria. And we haven't really talked about Amir yet. He's from Austin. He is like tangential to the friend group. It's like, mm-hmm. I think he knows the Kappas, right? He knows Alex and Nick. Yeah,
he's friends with Nick.
Yeah, and so he's really good friends with the Kappas. Like, they hang out, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. Him and Nick have gotten really close.
Yeah.
And so he's back for season two. He didn't have a lot of drama in season one. He's very much like, you know, he had a little bit, but they all did. But this time he's going to check on Bria, which is kind of what you would expect, right? For season one, you know Amir is going to be the one to mm-hmm. go and look in and see if everybody's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's when Bria is telling Amir, hey, I would have loved to be included in this kind of stuff. And sometimes I just feel like I'd be getting left out. Jasmine's saying that she talked to a few people during the summer and she just isn't as close to Jordan as she would want to be. But she also wouldn't have wanted to have that conversation in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot blowing up in front of everybody. And there are some people just left out on the on the periphery of that. Amir would have his girlfriend there. But his girlfriend, for her to not be in episode 1 and 2, we talk about her a lot, Sasha. Like, we talk about her probably about as much as we talk about Silas.
Yes. It is why. I think I just keep trying to put 2 and 2 together and it's not clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand what's going on with them.
Yeah, because he left her behind, right? Yes. We don't know Amir's girlfriend. Apparently, correct. They got together after last season, like right after last season. So it's been about a year. His whole thing with her is that my girlfriend would never allow me to do any of the stuff that some of you guys are doing. She would not, like, she wouldn't allow me to be in anybody's DMs like that. She wouldn't allow me to be all touchy-feely, this and other. It's like, well, she allowed you to come stay with all these people.
Thank you. And it's, the whole vibe is weird. Like, he's trying so hard to be a wife guy, right? Like, he's very mm-hmm. my wife. That's the vibe I'm getting from him. And which is fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with being obsessed with your partner. I think that's beautiful. It's great. Wow. Amazing. But I just feel like, again, she feels insecure. I don't know why. She's beautiful. And in episode 2, they even have like a weird tiff where she's like, I think you sent me a text that wasn't meant for me. And I didn't like that. Da-da-da. And he's like, no, that was for you. I don't know what you're talking about. And even then, they're just going back and forth. So I just think there's something going on with them that I think will eventually come out.
Yeah. Every time some type of trust issue or some type of, you know, just something like small that's going on with another one of the like friend groups or something. Anytime it's involving a guy who's in a relationship and a woman who is not or two, you know, whatever. We always get the soundbite from Amir that says, my girlfriend would murder me. She would cut my thing off and hang it up from the rooftop and then drag everybody through. Like he's painting her as like just this like terror almost that like where he be damned if he do step out of line because she gonna get them together, you know, which is okay, right? Like you want to paint, if that's the personification you want to give of your girlfriend, fine. Like we get it. It's joking. We don't really think she's going to murder you and stuff like that, but we get it a lot. In the first episode. And then, like you said, by episode 2, there's a moment where Amir, there's a lot of partying going on in the house, right? There's a lot of, it gets kind of wild. There's some nudity going on, that kind of thing, a lot of dancing, twerking. And Amir is doing the, like you said, obsessed with my wife thing. He's in his phone, he's texting her, not even paying attention to what's going on. Hey, babe, what do you think I should eat? And she's just like, that's a weird text message to send me. Why did you send that to me? Was that meant for somebody else? What's the problem? And then next thing you know, we do see them arguing where he's kind of like, what are you talking about? Why would you insinuate that I was sending? Who would it even make sense for him to be sending that to, Sasha?
That what I'm it's and it's such a basic ass text. Like, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Is it that like she's intermittent fasting and she doesn't eat on those days? Is that the issue? I don't comprehend.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, obviously I texted you this because I wanted to know what you thought. Yeah. I should eat. You know, like that's it.
What I'm saying. Like, I was just like, I'm so confused as to like who's, it was just giving, because I didn't even catch the text. I was like, I know it's about food. That's why now that you're saying it, it sounds even more stupid.
Yeah.
Where I don't understand. But I think when you're in your feelings, it happens.
Right. And it's just funny too, because he is the person who is the most standoffish when it comes to the other women in the house. He's kind of like, nope, it's a wall up. In season one, we saw that there was a little, he was trying to get at Jordan a little bit. Jordan was completely not into it at all. And so, you know, there, he's now firmly in the friend zone and he's happy there. He's like, I'm good. I have a relationship and all this other stuff. So to see him be the one who's getting kind of yelled at a little bit about this text message when he is the one who is actively avoiding all of the like chaos with the naked people and all that stuff. It's very interesting because, you know, that is the personification he's giving us, right? Like that she wouldn't go for that kind of stuff. And then instantly we see that she don't even like when he sent her text message that she's confused about food, you know? So I'm wondering, I think we're supposed to see her this season. Do you know?
Yeah, I bet eventually, like, you know, to the end, when Simon is going to come, I bet all the plus ones might end up coming.
Gotcha. They're going to, like, send for them all at the same time.
Yeah, I that's what I feel. But again, they might, because Nick's girlfriend came, I think, just the last two episodes, something like that. So I bet they'll all be there. Because I'm on her Instagram and, like, folks are like, can't wait to see you on the season. And she's not saying no.
Okay. Who else do we have on here? So we talked about Amir. Oh, we haven't talked about our new castmate, Noelle, right? And Noelle seems like she's fun. First of all, she's an AKA, and she's like, look at me, I'm an AKA. And I was like, okay, we could tell, you know, like, no. Yep, you got it. She said what she said. And Noelle is probably the least familiar with the entire friend group. Yes. She's friends with some of the women, but she doesn't really know everybody. And so she is the one who is completely out of the loop on some of this stuff. You know, the one source of drama with Noelle is that she's kind of into Alex. She's been saying, I think I like Alex. I think I like Alex. I think I like Alex. And she's been going to Summer, her friend, and saying, is everything cool? Like, I, you know, like not to go after your boy, but are y'all good?
Yeah, right. I love Noelle.
And Summer says, nah, everything's cool. It's fine. Everything's fine. There's nothing there. Nothing to see here. And by the time the blow up happens, where Summer's talking about him being inside her, Noelle is not even paying attention. She's only busy eating that damn lobster that she misses the whole conversation.
No, I think I would cry if I missed out on drama like this. Like, I think I would literally cry.
Sasha, she didn't see this moment until it came on TV. She watched it with us.
Yeah, and what's nuts is, like, they do the slow-mo zoom back, and she's, like, getting pelted with the butter in her face while everyone else is fighting. Noelle, I love you. Can we be friends? But it's just, she's so unbothered. And I think I really enjoy her because she's like, I know what I like. I know who I like, and that's it. That's what I want. I checked in with my friend. My friend said they only hung out. It's all good. Now, episode two, it's like a slap in the face because she's like, what do you mean? You're freaking, you have sex. I don't like that. I don't do that.
Right. And Summer kind of tries to flip it on her and says, well, you wrong for even going after a dude that you know I used to like anyway. Hung so what's out. Up with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Summer says hung out means it's like a loaded term, Sasha. You hung out that. Means.
That's you.
No. That's that. Oh, I almost. Ooh. I almost threw somebody under the bus.
Do
they
not.
Kicked it, Sasha. You know what I'm saying? When people kick it, Woo. It means something else, you know?
I just feel like sometimes you'll, like, tell me, like, oh, we hung out. And then I have to, like, be like, oh, they hung out. And then you'll be like, no, we hung out.
Well, that's because you'd be asking me that on the podcast, Sasha. Damn.
Like, or maybe because I ask you in front of everyone, because I don't
care. Right. You summon me every time. You're like, so y'all hung out? Yeah. Okay. That's what I call it, summer house. It's Sasha just airing out my shit at the table.
Oh my God. I don't even mean to. I just have to know.
Have to know right now in front of these people. So yeah, they hung out and Summer.
Noelle
is telling us that, had her friend just been upfront about it the entire time, she would have never even pursued it. But she always felt like Summer was saying that everything was good. But Summer's saying that the hung out should have been enough to keep you off of this. So the question is, did Noelle break girl code by ignoring the hung out?
No, I personally felt, at least from what we saw, right? This is an edited show. Know that, understand that. But anyway, from what we saw, it felt also to me that she was like, yeah, go ahead. There's no feelings here. Like, it was a moment in time. It's giving fart in the wind, right? Like, whatever. It happened. Let's move on. But then your reaction to it, sure, will tell me, like, oh, I messed up. Like, this is not, you know, this is more than what I thought it was. So I think Noelle, unfortunately, has to do a lot of, like, deducing of, like, something's still up. And we get the throwaway of the D wasn't good anyway.
Yeah, that came up. That came up.
You did that. That's giving salty.
It is. It is. Because it's like...
Again, there's a way. If it wasn't good, all you had to be like, oh, it was interesting. You know, there's ways to be like, oh, shucks, I was let down. But if you outright say it, that means you're messy.
Well, she did try to tiptoe around it. She was like, oh, he's very... She couldn't, like, really find, like, a concrete way of saying it was bad, but she definitely said that it was bad. You know, she was like, oh, no, it was, like, it wasn't the same as what I was expecting, this, that, other. But we see what you're doing. But you know what? If it was that bad, why are you so hung up on this thing? You know what I'm saying?
Like, for me, I would have been like, the spell is broken.
It never happened.
I'm back. You know, like, if it truly was bad, you will be like, I don't ever want anything to do with it. I don't even want people to know. What did Meg say? It never happened if the dick wasn't snapping. That is it. Okay, that is how you have to live your life. So to me, it's like, it didn't happen. We didn't even hang out. I don't know what you're talking about. Right. It wasn't good.
Don't know you. Don't know you. Haven't seen you. Don't mention
it. Couldn't be me. Yeah. I'd never admit to it. I'd be like, it was so good. Wow. Amazing. Beautiful. Because I'm not letting people know I was putting up with bad. Anything.
Yeah, you like, and you airing it out at the lunch table. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like, damn, you down bad. You should, like, you know. So it wasn't a great look. The reason it came up,
did her dirty too before the D confessional and after the D confessional. Why you did that?
They show what she was like before and then after, and it had been a drastic change. Yeah. The reason this conversation even came up is because the other person in the house we haven't talked about yet is Preston. Preston's the only queer person in the house. And he says he is here. Like, Preston in season one is great. He's like the person who is shutting down a lot of the drama. He's calling out a lot of the social issues that are happening around them as well. I really enjoyed where he was talking about how, you know, like, Black folk love toasting the Black excellence and stuff like that. He's like, but what you really mean is, like, opulence and affluence, when in reality, anybody can be excellent based on their own circumstance, right? So it's kind of like, this is the elitist point of view where you look down on other people's experiences just because now you're moving in proximity to whiteness, right? So it's like, now, oh, we're in Martha's Vineyard, ooh la la la, now Black excellence. It's like, no, yeah. you were excellent where you were at first as well, you know what I'm saying? Just because you're doing well, you know, in a white space or a predominantly, you know, white area, mm-hmm. or moving like in the Hamptons, you know, if you will, that doesn't make you any more excellent. And so those conversations are cool. He's typically not in a lot of drama, but he does get into some to pop off season two. I don't know if the producers nudged him and said, hey, you know, spice things up a little bit.
In season one, like, he'll say what's on his mind. And I think it depends who you say it to, right? Like, if there's a Bria, which again is what happened at the end of episode one. But I think if he gets the right person, it becomes a little bit of a back and forth.
Yeah. So in episode one, we see some drama between him and Bria because, also Preston is Silas's line brother. They're both members of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. And so Silas is not there. And so Preston's new bestie in the house is Bria. And they have, like, a really good joking relationship. I guess they bonded since the last season when they were in the summer house. They seem to be really, really close. But then the alcohol starts getting poured up and, you know, the pettiness starts to run rampant. And then next thing you know, him and Bria are even at each other's throats. And so It happens. They get over it. That's the one thing I will say about Bria. If you come with her to a real apology, she typically will just kind of be like, all right, let's squash it and move on. But Preston is the one who asked Summer how Alex was in bed. And I think her response was, he's a great kisser. Good cuddler. It's not as passionate as she normally would like.
That's crazy.
It's coded
Why
language.
Are we saying this?
Yeah. Loud? In front of people, I guess they were at brunch. So it's like they were having like girl talk or whatever.
Yeah, which is what the point of brunch is. Also, are you doing brunch or are you working out? Because there's only two types of people in this world.
Right. And they were like, oh yeah, like these people are going to work out. And I said, it really depends on the day. You know, because like 99% of the time, I'm like, where the brunch at?
Okay. Thank God.
But I do like a good CrossFit. I do. And so I probably would have went to a CrossFit. But there are so many times where they do other functions, like other excursions and stuff on this show. And the other opportunity is brunch. And I'm like, bro, catch me at the brunch. Because I'm trying to, I'm the turn up friend. We know this. I'm going to be wherever the shots is at. So that's where I would have gone. Sadly, some people made the incorrect decision of going to CrossFit. On this day, I would have been at brunch. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I also think that if I'm a single girly and the boy I want is, unfortunately, I think I would go after the boy.
Gotta go to CrossFit.
Like, whatever. But not give him any attention and be like, look how good I am.
Look, they get the opportunity to go do either. And we see people, you know, choosing their sides. But, you know, typically the guys will go and work out and stuff like that. By the end of the episode, there is some unresolved drama amongst a lot of the people, particularly Nick, which we don't see a lot of Nick drama. You know, he's always kind of around. He's there. He seems to be a nice guy that everybody gets along with fairly well. But by the end of this episode, people start talking about Nick being a little handsy. And this was interesting to watch, you know, because I'm waiting to see season 2, episode 3 to see how he handles it. Because by the end, at first he's presented with this information. Preston tells him, hey, you be touching a lot, you know, and then we kind of get some flashbacks of moments where, you know, it gets a little touchy. And Nick looks legitimately concerned. Like it's not his intention to make anybody feel uncomfortable and this, that, other. And then eventually he goes to Jordan and Summer's room and just point blank asks them if he makes them feel uncomfortable. And so Jordan, who does not mince words at all, ever, just completely from the bed says, you do be touching people a lot. Yeah, you get handsy. And then that's where the episode ends, Sasha. What do you think about this for Nick?
Yeah, I think that he was a little bit in shambles. And Jordan's like, well, since you brought it up, I'm going to say yes. Sorry. Not sorry, basically. And I think that there is a way to tell your friend that you're being a little bit touchy-feely. I think for me personally, and maybe that's on me, but like I just don't, as a non-touchy-feely person, I just know how to remove myself from situations, and it's very easy for personally. But I do think that sometimes there are people, and men especially, that get like way too handsy. So I think you got to tell them, I appreciate Preston doing it, but I wonder if Jordan felt like, oh shit, where did this come from? Like, I'm just in bed sleep trying to take a nap and here you are. I don't know. It's weird, but I think you got to tell your friend to be like, back up. But I would just say it to your face. I'd just be like, back up. Why are you always in my space?
Stop touching me. Personal space, like Alex did. And people are going to take that differently, you know, every time. Yeah. But I do appreciate Nick confronting the situation and just going and being like, even like I said, I'm going to leave that open for episode 3, obviously, because we have not seen how he deals with this information.
Exactly.
But as of right now, if someone accuses you of something like that, obviously you'd be very apologetic and you go and find out what it is that you're doing so that you can stop. And so it does look like that's your trajectory that he's on. And I don't have any reason to believe that it's not, you know, like right now, Nick's never shown us any aside from his DM diving, you know, which he says is purely platonic. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't given us any reason to believe that this would be anything that he wouldn't be able to handle, you know, this conversation. And so hopefully it takes a turn for the better. Drama aside, though, There's a lot of fun moments in this episode. As we talked about, they go to brunch, they go to CrossFit, they do gymnastics a little bit. Alex hurts his arm. But there's this party, Sasha. This felt like a Sasha function, okay? You know, let's just call it what it is. A decades party, Sasha. This ain't got your name on it.
Listen, I'm wearing my 90s outfit. Yeah, here I am. I'm ready.
So you would definitely pick 90s? Because I feel like you're a 2000s girl.
No, I wouldn't actually pick 90s. I just picked this dress and I was like, oh, I can wear it for my decades party. I for sure would be in my baby fat, in my unit.
Jersey dress.
Oh my God. A moment in time, okay? This immigrant moves to Oklahoma, finds all this stuff. I loved it. I love a good theme. I throw a really fun, I think it's fun, New Year's Eve party. So yeah, I live for themes. And I felt that some people were really missing. And some people, I don't know what Shanice was doing.
She doesn't even know Juice. Listen. They were talking about taking her black car. I'm not saying you have to see all black movies, but you got to know what Juice is. You know what I'm saying? Before you can come here to the decades party and start commenting on the 90s. Preston had a really good outfit for the 90s, yes. I thought. Shanice basically didn't even try.
They put basic in her Chiron. It's a Shanice decade basic question.
Yeah, I mean, we could put a pin in that and talk about the who is the worst dresser drama, Sasha, because they said it's Shanice.
Oh my
God. This was Summer tough, man.
It wasn't they.
Yeah, Summer said it was Shanice. She threw her under the bus for no reason. Yeah. Yeah. And Shanice did not take this well at all.
Yeah, this is okay. So Shanice, right, like goes into her room. She's crying. She's really upset. Eventually Bria goes to check in on her. And Bria, though, does say, like, I mean, she did. She is not the best, right? Whatever. But I feel like Summer has to know Shanice has issues because she's crying. And why is she crying? Because she said, that girl knows I can't afford this and I can't afford things. So I don't understand why this would happen. I was in shock.
Yeah. Shanice is broke right now. She could barely afford the trip. She had already paid for it essentially before. So she couldn't, there was no point in trying to call it off because it was already paid for. But she's been unemployed for a while. And the person who knows this the most is Summer, who seemingly has no interest in thinking about that when talking about Shanice and her outfit. I personally do not talk about people's clothes. It's just weird. It never occurs to me to do it. I understand, but like after a while, like when people are dressing up really fancy, it is easy to spot somebody who is not at the same level, you know, fashion wise as everybody else. But you know, it just, for me, it always leads to something like this. Cause it's like if this person was rich, they would dress like a rich person. They're not, they're dressing to their means and what's comfortable for them. So it's kind of like, you just have to let them make it. But this ain't that group. This is a group where they're going to dress up for every function. They're going to go dress up to go out every time. And so worst dressed is going to come up in a very fashionable group of people. It just happened to fall on Shanice. And it didn't just happen. You know, like I said, Summer threw her completely under the bus. They end up making up for it, you know, making up with each other about it. But it was, Summer, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about you right now.
Right. It was just messy for no reason. That's how I feel. Like, I think that you have to know your friend's situation, right? Enough to not comment on their looks and how they dress. The girl's naked all the time anyway. So I think you could have made a joke like that. And I think Shanice would have loved it and she would have laughed. But instead, just to straight up talk about her outfits while she said you maybe know that she's struggling financially, it's gross. I don't think it's necessary. I would just on purpose say Nick, you know, to me, like, that's who I would troll.
We don't punch down, right? We know that Nick has probably the most elaborate wardrobe of all these people. He's very secure in the way that he dresses. Make fun of Nick. He'd have been fine. He'd have been like, whatever. He wouldn't even pay any attention to you. You know, Summer was just kind of throwing her friend under the bus for some laughs. And, you know, he's like, I don't know about that one. Speaking of Nick, he is dressed as the 70s with his Arthur Ashe inspired outfit. And These people do not know who Arthur Ashe is, and my mouth fell wide open.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, first of all, I know y'all not on this show talking about all this Black history and stuff like that, and you don't know who Arthur Ashe is, and you're telling this to a Kappa, because Arthur Ashe is probably one of the most famous Kappas who's ever lived.
Oh, I didn't know he was a Kappa, but that is so checks out.
Right, which is why Nick would dress like him, right? Exactly. And so... yeah, and so they're like, oh, man, I don't know. I was like, oh, my God, this is so bad. Do better, y'all. Do better. Come on, man. Let's just...
That's crazy. Yeah. When I was like, oh, he's dressed as Arthur Ashe, checks out. And then they were like, who are you? Who are you? And I was like, just end it. End the conversation.
Just end it now. Cut the cameras, dead ass. You know, listen, you don't have to know all the Black history facts. But again, a Kappa always going to throw out Arthur Ashe at you. You just kind of have to be ready for that one.
As but a tennis girly, I feel it. I mean, I don't play tennis. It's just, you know, my family's very big on sports. So it was, that was just someone we always knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. I think Bria was a rapper
J-Lo, right?
Yes, or something of that nature. She used to be in a rap group, apparently. And then Amir dressed as Nick. And so
that was Preston so funny.
Yeah, Preston ended up winning. Nick was very confused as to why that was, considering he... But it's like, Nick, you dress like that all the time. Like, literally every day.
You just dress up as yourself. That happens to also look a lot like Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, Arthur Ashe and his Ebony. That's about it, you know? So it's kind of like, all right. But that about wraps up everything right now. I think, was Jason in the house? Is he back?
No, he isn't here yet. He's new. He's going to come later, I think.
Yeah.
Because Jason from season showed one. Up, yeah, who did the dump and run.
Yeah.
Was that him?
No, that wasn't Jason. That was their other friend. I can't think of his name because he was only there for a second. Jason is the flight attendant who just had a baby.
Let me forget. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jason comes in later, I guess.
Yeah, he had a newborn. And so he felt like he was new to the group. But he was starting to fit in a little bit too.
People were getting kicked off left and right. So they're like, we need somebody. Who is your non-problematic friend? Please bring now.
Yeah. And he showed up because we lost two people in season one very quickly. I believe it was Mariah was her name.
Yeah, I loved her.
You love Mariah? I did too. She was fun.
He was gone. I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. Like, we're going to get so much info from, you know, so much like good drama, messy drama. No.
Yeah. And then the other guy was Phil, who was absolutely absurd.
That's the one. Sorry. Yes. Now that you said his name, I got them confused.
Yeah. He was Bria and Shanice's friend. He showed up and he didn't last 24 hours. I think they might have got him in and out of the house. In like 4 hours because they went out that night, and so between
the
time
to that bar they went out to, it's
you have
because there's that one street basically. So I've been there, it was crazy.
So what I'm hearing is we need to plan a trip.
I mean, let me know,
like we might need to do it. Listen, just because I want a reason to go buy some clothes and walk around and look fancy like these people are doing. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
It's a fancy place.
Yeah. I mean, because we could do this in Oklahoma. We don't have to do this in the Hamptons.
Be serious.
But it'd be more fun in the Hamptons. You know what I'm saying? So there's that too. But that's about all I have, Sasha. What about you?
We should talk about the rooming situation that the boys are all in bunk beds.
Wild.
I could not stop laughing. Listen, I do a lot of, like I said, work in Martha's Vineyard and on the Cape in general. And those houses are huge, but they've done a lot to where they'll just put like 7 beds in one room. And you're just like, that's not abundance. I don't do that. So it's really hard. Even like I'm currently trying to find houses for my cohort anyway, but it's wild. So, and I just have to be like, oh, there's a bunch of bunk beds. No one's staying there. Like, as in that's just an open area now.
Yeah.
They put all the boys in there besides Preston. Because I said, Preston, come. We have a room for you. Oh, my God. That is horror. Especially the single guy.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, now what? I mean, even the single guy and the couples, honestly.
That's because true. Because they need to visit. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick, Amir, they both have their girlfriends coming. And they're just going to be just laid up across from these other guys. I'm sorry, Alex. Yeah. Like Alex is going to be there. You know, like Silas is gone, so there's a lot less sex happening in the house right now. But yeah, it's fascinating to me that they would even give them a home with bunk beds.
That's just how those houses are.
Yeah, but I mean, there wasn't any other house I opened, because the first season they were not in bunk beds. The rooms were not great.
That's what I'm saying. Either. I think a lot more people have their own rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have. I think they need a lot of space. They need a lot of. Actually, most backyards in that area are huge. Yeah, so they just they need a lot of space. And I think they were like, well, everyone else gets bunk beds, gets their own room. No one really has to share, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone else is sharing. So
just the guys, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a pick and choose on that.
Yeah, I mean, they even had a pool house last time where Mariah and I think someone was living upstairs from Mariah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, kinds of houses there as well. So I just find it very funny, because if you're trying to, you know, in the middle of the night, you miss your girl. You're thinking of your girl. Shucks.
Yeah.
You're SOL.
Basically, it's pretty bad, but they'll be okay. They'll work it out. They're only there for roughly 15 days anyway.
Be very quiet.
Right. Yeah. Look. You don't have to sleep there. You know, find you a nice person to hang out with that's outside of the house and go stay with them. You know, who knows? That said, Simon also is coming at some point, Bria's boyfriend. So the house will get bigger, like more full as we go on throughout the season. Sasha, I think one fun game we could play throughout this whole podcast recap is that we're going to plan a trip to Martha's Vineyard for the podcasters. We're doing it. Okay.
Oh my God.
Never happen. But the listeners of this podcast, we are going to help. So if you are familiar with the RHAP network, we're going to be talking about those podcasters and where we're going to put them in these spots. If you're not familiar, then you'll hear a bunch of names that you don't care about. But yeah, we're going to casually, Sasha, I might be like, who would you put in the bunk bedroom? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, it'll be the guys. So
I'm not. Don't you dare. Because I always end up in this situation as the shortest person. And I know.
Those beds were really small. They were really small. That's tall. I kind of need my own bed. I need my own room. Sorry, y'all.
I'll pay extra, but
they'll look up and I'll be staying off campus. Like, I'll be at a different place. Yeah.
Because I'm so familiar with the area. I'd be like, I'm out. I know where to work. No, who is getting the bunk bed? We have to give it. Matt would be an interesting one.
Matt's a bunk bed person. Yeah, for sure.
And Matt doesn't drink either, right? So I feel like Matt wouldn't be sloppy.
Yeah. Matt'd be a good roommate, though, because he doesn't drink and stuff like that.
That's what I was saying. I just feel like Matt would be a good roommate.
Yeah.
Would it be people that snore? That's another thing. Because I would die.
Yeah. That's too much. Listen, we have plenty of time to talk about that this season as well.
You guys tell us.
Yeah, if you know them people, you know them. If you don't, if you're new here Kickback, welcome, because that's what we're doing. We're talking about Martha's Vineyard this season. And so, Sasha, I'm so excited. This was so fun talking to you about episodes 1 and 2, catching everybody up about season 1. I'm sure there's much more drama we get to talk about. We'll get to spend more time on the drama now that we've gotten all the setup done moving forward. But this should be a great time. So again, if you are new here, subscribe. Go to recapkickback.com/subscribe to get the bi-weekly Martha's Vineyard summer house content. Okay. Make sure you follow me on social media at Recap Kickback, wherever you get your podcast, in order to keep up with the drops, the release schedule, all that good stuff. And Sasha, thank you for being here. Tell everybody what you got going on.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you for saying yes to this. Like, this was so much fun. And I knew we had to cover this. So I hope everyone enjoyed it as well. And it's just more shenanigans to come. All right. But with that, of course, I work for a Black and Brown women's nonprofit, and we are hosting a Rest, Replenish, Rejuvenate series for Black and Brown women. So if boundaries are getting in the way of you committing to your rest practices, come join us. Hopefully this goes out before that. If not, shucks, you can join us for the next one. For April 7th, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to be talking about how setting boundaries is an act of love, how you should be protecting and replenishing your energy and creating conditions for your truth and truth telling. So come join us at tinyurl.com/dimensionspopup and the number 2. And I also cover pop culture, celebrity gossip, all that mess over on Mess Magnets on Rob Has a Podcast. So you can check that out on Rob Has a Website /messfeed. And of course, Chappelle and I talk Below Deck, like we said. So check that out either on the Bravo TV Wrap Ups feed and or on the YouTube channel for Rob Has a Podcast. And Bryce, Isaiah, and I are talking Love and Hip Hop Atlanta season 11. Check that out on the Purple Pants feed or on the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. There is more. I was, of course, on here talking Beyonce, and I was just so grateful to be included with all those amazing people on that really great panel. So I hope you've subscribed to Recap Kickback because content is A1. And for everything else, just follow me on Twitter at funsize_04.
Thank you so much again, Sasha. And thank you all for listening. Again, you can catch me here on Recap Kickback every Thursday. We should be having a podcast release for you. But of course, there's still this coverage for Martha's Vineyard. We have the Abbott Elementary coverage with me and Gia as well. And then I'll be guesting all over the place. I'll actually be on the Was It Good Though podcast soon for their 99th episode talking about the Nutty Professor. It was cracked, y'all. It was a good time, but it was insane. That'll be dropping in a couple weeks, I believe. And so be prepared, because when I tell you about that one, just don't judge me. Don't judge me. We were in a different space, y'all. But as far as this space goes, thank y'all again for listening. Yo, I ain't got to go home, but you know the rest. We'll talk to y'all next time. Peace. Wait on life. I want to hold my breath. I'm going to get in my goddamn self.